we had a conference this week and we was talking to one of the young lady, and she said the church that she used to go to, grew up in, she never once saw a missionary. Isn't that amazing? And so now, you know, you may not see your missionaries as often as you like, but I mean, when I say they don't see, they don't get newsletters, they nothing. They have no idea what's happening with the support that they send out. And so, thank you, and I hope you can rejoice in this. You know, I find it interesting when I see that, a vision for the village. When I see village, boy, that's who we're ministering to. But our villages don't look like those villages, that village there. But we do that. And I don't know if you're like me. I would imagine you are, especially if you're in service for the Lord and if you're teaching Sunday school. Maybe you're involved in some other children's ministry, Awana. I don't know if you do that, whatever you do for children. But maybe you're involved in some ministry, and as time goes on, because things move slowly, you may step back and say, am I really making a difference? Is what I'm doing really affecting anyone? And I tell you, when you're on the mission field, things move really slow. And sometimes you do. You just start wondering, am I making a difference? Now, I'm blessed in a way that you're not, in that I can come to a church and I could put in a 10-minute video and be reminded that, yes, we are making a difference. And that blesses my heart. You're seeing 10 minutes of 6 years. And it does remind me that we are making a difference. And I wish that you had that opportunity, that somebody could take a chunk of your ministry, whatever it is you're doing, and put it into a 10-minute video of clips and things and variety of things, so you can see that you're making a difference. You're changing someone's life. You may not have the opportunity like I do to have pictures and video and to be able to accumulate those things to see that. But listen, I know that feeling of wondering, but I have the privilege and the opportunity to be able to see this, and I want you to know God sees it. God's not seeing 10 minutes of what you do. He's seeing all of what you do. And so I want to encourage you, just keep on keeping on for the Lord. Be faithful. And even along the way, God's going to give you opportunities here or there sometime to see. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we're going over to Anna, Ohio, Cindy, you know where Sydney, those places? It's over near on 75. To spend the day and then spend the night with a couple, Jeff and Sabrina Bradshaw, who were teenagers in my youth group when I was a youth pastor in Tampa, Florida. A lot of years ago. I mean, they have kids who have graduated from high school and in college. Now, I ministered to a lot of young people when I was a youth pastor and stuff, but every once in a while, God will let us see some of the fruit of our labor. Jeff and Sabrina have been such a blessing to us through the years. To see them grow in the Lord, be married, serve in the church, faithful to the church, become a part of our ministry. And if you remain faithful, God's going to give you those jewels along the way at different times in your life and in your ministry and in your opportunities to serve. So just let me encourage you to hang in there. God knows it. God sees it. Just be faithful. And He definitely will honor you for that. you, well, let me just ask, because sometimes I could rattle on, and does anybody have any questions about what we're doing, anything that you saw on the video? Sometimes it's easier if somebody has a question, I can just go right to it instead of rattling on. Yes, ma'am. You know, that's a very good question. As a matter of fact, Pastor asked us at dinner if we have any problem with the government as far as ministry, and we don't. You saw that we were able to go right on the street there. We were handing out John and Romans. And in the mornings, that's very busy. That's the only main road in Liberia. Most of them are dirt, but that's right there in Monrovia. And within about 3 hours, we could hand out just probably 10 people, about 10,000 John and Romans. Because you could see, they were anxious. They were wanting them, everybody in the back of the truck. Anything that you're willing to give somebody, they'll take it. It doesn't matter what it is. So we have great freedom there government-wise. We can hand out tracts. We could talk to anybody. We can go into public schools. Matter of fact, they'll welcome me. I can go into one classroom, preach the Bible, give an invitation. I can then go to the next classroom and do those things. Now, they have an ulterior motive in allowing me to do that. And that is because they see, oh, let's welcome the American, the white man. And then we'll tell him everything that we need for our school and he'll help us. Well, they're greatly disappointed in that respect. But the door's open for us to share the gospel. So we have no restrictions there. Now, in regard to the Muslims, it's a big part of Liberia. Every town, every village has a Muslim mosque in it. Everyone. I wish they all had Baptist churches. and the people around us. Most of the stores, businesses are owned by Muslims. They typically come from Lebanon. But they're friendly. We get along with them. The gentleman across the street from where we lived, we'd buy water and bread off him, Abraham. We call him AB. He's a Muslim. And you build relationships. And so, no, there's no problems or anything like that yet. And I say yet. Now, this is my opinion, my observation. I think it's probably right, but I'm just letting it's my opinion. But I kind of look at the Muslims as a silent enemy. And I say that because you look at other areas. You take Egypt. You take Mali, just above us, and it's happening in Guinea as well. They come in, they're friendly, and they are, and they have their mosque and the religions, and but they continue to grow, and then they grow. And when they get people in places of power, for instance, our, the president, Wiya, is not a Muslim. He's actually got a church. It's a kind of a charismatic church that he preaches. But this past year, he tried to get official dates for Muslim holidays. He wanted to get three official days for Muslim holidays. Now, praise the Lord that the preachers in Liberia stood up against that. Now, they still celebrated them. They're just not official, but they still closed things down. And so I think what will happen eventually is when they get the numbers, when they've populated, when they've gotten in positions of power, that's when we'll see the bad side of it and then the real hard side of them. So that's my opinion, but I think we've seen that in other countries, especially in African countries, and I think that's where we're headed. So very good question, but right now, no. As a matter of fact, in a way, it opened my eyes being there. Somebody asked me one day when we were back, do the Muslims, you know, do they evangelize, you know, like we do? And I said, no. They get them from the time they're born. They're training them. They have their own schools, and they are training them. And boy, that ought to tell us something. That, you know, we wait, and then we're trying to redo something that they the false teachings and things they've received. So, very good question. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, in that particular case, but Liberia, you'll find this interesting, their national language is English. And it was great, because we didn't go to the mission field until we were 60. And I'm 59 now. Hey, by the way, don't you love Medicare? Listen, I don't like any government program, but praise God for Medicare. I don't know what we'd do without that. That's one thing I appreciate. I'm just telling you. Anyway, but you know, it's just interesting. God called us to the mission field late in our lives. And, you know, he knows what he's doing, right? He wasn't going to send us someplace where we'd have to learn a new language. So Liberia was founded by American slaves that were returned to their homeland. And so they're very friendly towards America. They followed our Constitution. Monrovia is named after James Monroe, who was president at that time. Their flag, do you have our flag here? Liberian flag? I'm going to have to do something about that. But anyway, it's very similar to the American flag. It has red and white stripes, but then just a single star. It was the first republic in Liberia. In Africa, excuse me, thank you. In Africa. But their English, like for instance, they have what they call Liberian English, and then they have what they call Standard English. Could I get some water? Glass, bottle of water, or glass of water? Thank you. Now, I didn't know they were speaking Liberian English until somebody told me. I thought it was another tribal language. That's how extreme it is. And by the way, they have 16 tribal languages there. And another thing that's interesting about that is, it's not like Spanish-speaking countries where they kind of understand one another, not completely, but it's not like that. I mean, they don't their dialects are so different that they don't understand one another. They don't cross over. So that's interesting. But then the standard English, that's what we can understand. And so they'll speak that, but even that's difficult because what they do is they drop the end of their words. Like they don't say God, they say Ga. You know, they Gia cry. And I'm not real good at doing it. And one thing that really helps me is when we're in church and they're singing, the choir singing, I'll listen because they sing the same thing over. And so I learn what they're saying because I pick up on it eventually. But it's not bad. Then you just tell them, slow down. You know, can you say that again? And you learn. I don't realize how well we're picking up on it until we have somebody, a guest come over, like the guest preachers, and all of a sudden I find myself telling them what they're saying. So that's kind of cool for me. But so we do pretty well with that. That situation, that was a conference. And so probably had more than just the two dialects, but those were the two main ones. Interesting thing about that, the gentleman that would have been on my left is blind. But what an awesome ministry for a blind person. Because he doesn't have to see. Thank you so much. He just has to be able to hear. And he does a great job. When I'm in Monrovia, almost all the churches are English. It's not a problem. Our college, we do everything in English. The schools are there, supposed to do English. The teachers, but they can resort back to what they're comfortable with. That's a problem. But when you get more out into the villages, we almost always have to use an interpreter. And you have good interpreters. That blind guy is good. Him and I, I mean, you know, there's no pauses. It's just, we just know. It just flows. It's really good. Sometimes you get somebody who they think they're the preacher. And so they're doing a lot more gestures than you and really dramatic and things. And that's interesting too. Anybody else? Okay, I'm trying to think. So you just saw a little bit there. Well, we have the Bible College. That's really one of our main purposes in being there. Planting churches and then training men. I didn't go there to pastor a church, but we wanted to plant churches and then we're training men to do that. We can go into any village and start a church, but you have to have somebody to pastor them. Now, they'll take that upon themselves to do that, but the problem is they don't have any training, biblical training. And so they're really just, you know, trying to do the best they can. They have a burden and passion for that. And so we went there to start that. As a matter of fact, I wanted to share that verse, familiar verse with you, but this is really kind of what our ministry is about in 2 Timothy 2:2. And you saw it even on the presentation there. But, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. And that's really the brunt of our ministry there. And that, and mine, and when I went there and we started the Bible College, we have typically between 40 to 45 students. This semester we have 46 students. And half of those are pastors, and then others are just working the church. They just have a hunger to know God's Word. They want to know. They want to learn. They want to understand. And I love teaching God's Word. It is such a blessing. I pastored for 14 years, and I love to preach. I never thought I'd enjoy teaching how much I enjoy teaching. I think a lot of it has to do with being older, because I have so much life experience that I can impart into my teaching that makes it so enjoyable. But so we're doing that. We're training these men so that then they can go out and we can start churches with them. You saw Faith Baptist Church there in Tinker Village. You saw where we started in the house there. You saw the little walk bridge because of the water. And then you saw the water in the building. And the water inside was up to the windowsills. And the floor of that building is 4 feet off the wall as well. What happened was when we initially bought that property, I had been going over there prior when we were on deputation. I was still going there. God gave me a burden for that area, and we were able to get that property. And then Pastor Saywall contacted me and asked if he could use that building for Bible studies, and we developed into Faith Baptist Church. And we didn't have any problem for the first few years, but we were the only person there. It was like a desert. We had to walk almost a mile to get to the building because we couldn't drive in any farther. But in no time, people just start building houses everywhere. And there's no structure or anything. You have your property, that's it. There's not like roads or this. And so people just start building everywhere around it. And what happened was they were building their homes up. And our property basically became the reservoir for everybody else's property. And that's why it began to flood. We spent 2 years praying, looking at different properties. And I'll be honest with you, it's discouraging to me. You know, I'm American. We're used to things happening. Pastor Saywall just kept, don't worry, Pastor, don't worry. God will provide. And then, we kind of find something. I just never had a peace about it. There's a lot of things, problems with deeds in Liberia. Rarely, I don't know other than our property right now, Ray, it won't happen. Any property that's bought there, people have had to pay for it more than once because the deed isn't right, they lied, it's not the real owner, just so many things. So I drove Pastor Saywall, I drove the attorneys, I drove the guy who was selling the property absolutely crazy through this whole thing because, I mean, I wanted, you know, every I dotted and T crossed and the attorneys and everything because I said, listen, this can't go wrong. I have churches that have given and sacrificed for us to get this property, and if this thing goes wrong, I'm not going to be able to ask them for anything again. And so we believe we did, and then the two houses were there on that property you could see. Now here's the neat thing about that. We were looking at different properties, different places, didn't have real peace. That's just walking distance from our own building. We still use the old building during dry season. God just and had a plan. He had that, and it's larger than anything we had looked at. Has the two small houses there. And now you saw we're building the church building. We dedicated that. We're going back in December for the annual conference that they have every year. This is kind of strange. Every year they have a big annual conferences from December 26th to January 1st, the week between Christmas and New Year. We'll have like over 500 people there, and they stay there. And that's going to be in that building. So it's pretty exciting. Pray for us. It's not done. One thing I really would like to see us get done are toilets. That sounds like, well, sure, you know, a lot of them don't have toilets. And so you can imagine what happens. They go outside and on the walls and everything else. And so we're praying that we can get the toilets in. It wasn't on that picture, but if you look at our newsletter over here, kind of almost in the middle of this board, you'll see that we got the water tower up. That was a big project because that's how we get water. We have a well. We'll pump water up into the 600-gallon tank, and then it's gravity-fed down to the toilets. But we need to get the toilets. We got the septic tank in. So we're getting there. It's not like here where we go, you go borrow the money, and it's done. But I keep telling them, when it's done, it's paid for. So, but you know how it is. I mean, you can only go to the well so many times and keep asking our churches. And they're sacrificing already so much. And so when I, and I mean this, when I say pray for us to get the toilets, that we can get the ceiling, that we can get the tile. And this is, do you have Wednesday night prayer meetings? Do you pray on Wednesday night? Okay, we did too. So, this isn't me coming in on a Wednesday night and standing up with a prayer request saying, pray for my family. We don't have any food or anything in our home, so pray that God would provide. Okay, I don't mean to be mean to anybody who does that, but to me, that's not a prayer request. That's an announcement. We need some food and somebody help us. That's not what I'm doing here when I say pray for us to get the things we need to finish the building. I really, you guys, you give, you support us. We're just, because God provides every step of the way. And I'm sincere when I say just pray for those needs. I really mean that. Excuse me. Okay. I wanted to continue with the training process there. What we do there, you saw there briefly and probably didn't catch it, but you saw one of the classes, and I don't know if you saw that I was on the screen there. Well, with COVID, everything changed, didn't it? Churches began to do things in different ways, and we had to come off the field. Matter of fact, Brenda was already back. I barely got out before they closed the airport. But so we had to rethink how we do our ministry there. One of the things I do is during the summer there, they have two seasons in Liberia, rainy season and dry season. That's it. During the rainy season, it rains so much that the students can't get to class. They can't get the taxis they need. It's just way too difficult. So I give them a take-home course. So when the COVID hit, I wanted to continue them getting their training, so I prepared some more take-home courses. But then Brenda had some medical situations, and I'm not sure if you're aware that she did. If you did and you prayed about that, we thank you so very, very much. She went through a year of surgeries for cancer, chemotherapy. We just finished doctor's appointments, follow-up things, and she's clear, so we're going back in December. We praise the Lord for that, and what a blessing that is. But while we were here doing all that, I thought, okay, we've got to do something different. So I started video recording the classes. There at our home, I'd have the notes together. You see the notebooks on the table. Take a look at those. We get those printed actually in Liberia. There's a Mennonite ministry that prints our notebooks for us. Very well done, very professional, not very costly at all. So we're thankful for that. So I do all the notes. I email them over to Michael at the printing place there. He prints them. We have another missionary there that works with me in the college, Brother Ben from Canada. He's a younger fella, so he's really good with the technical stuff. And so I do these videos, and I record. I was telling Preacher, we did it the first time last semester, so I have my camera in our house there, Florida, me, and we have blanks in the notebooks. And so I had Brenda, because I don't write very well, write the answers on this big white sheets. And then I'd flip them over for the next one, and it worked, especially for Liberia. It worked. But to me, it was still a little tacky. My son-in-law helped me to figure out a little better. So this past semester, what we're in right now, we use Zoom. I'm sure young people, all of you maybe are familiar with Zoom. Business people do it, Zoom meetings and things. So I was able to do that on my computer. The nice thing about that is not only does it video me, but I could use PowerPoint, outline, and notes right on there at the same time. So it looks much more professional. I can give more information than just a word. And so that's worked really well this semester also. And so we're continuing to improve upon that. Now, here's the great thing about that. And God gave me a burden for this even before all this and the possibility of doing something like this. It's funny how situations will push you into doing something, you know, that God wants. So what we're doing, we have outer villages and cities and towns that would like for us to come and train them and teach them. And Brother Ben and I would do that once in a while for maybe a 3-day seminar, but we can't go and do a 12 or 16-week course. We can't get away for that long and do that. But now, by putting these on video, this is going to give us an opportunity to reach into areas that we've never been able to reach into. So instead of 45 or 46 students coming to one place in Monrovia every Saturday, we're going to be able to put these either on DVDs or, you know, probably have to be a DVD. We can't provide them with computers, but if we can get them a projector and a DVD player, then they can do this in their villages, in their towns, and they can bring the people to their church and train them. So I am excited about that. Not only that, but it opens up the opportunity for us to use other people, like Brother Leithley. He and I have already talked about this. He's having them record his classes now at Marietta Baptist College so that we can use those and his expertise and training there in Liberia. So it really opens up amazing opportunities for us. Praise God for technology and allowing it to be used in the right way. And so I wanted to share that with you, because there again, That's all possible because of your involvement in missions, praying and giving and supporting missions. And not just us, but all your missionaries. Then another thing I would like to share with you, you saw Brenda and what she was doing there. That wasn't even a thought when we went to Liberia, really. I was going there. I was going to, you know, to plant churches, to do this. Brenda has 31 years of experience teaching in a Christian school. And so she thought, well, maybe I could help work with the children. So she, did you do it originally? Did you take materials our very first trip there? Okay. So she was collecting Sunday school materials and went over there and was going to kind of help. Well, she saw the need. They have no children's Sunday school programs. One problem is they have one room. That's their church. That's everything. The children are there. Everything. And so she really got a burden for that. And as she got to know some of the, familiar with the churches and some of the ladies, she started working with them. And thought, you know, it'd be good if you could do like maybe a one-day seminar. Show them how to use these materials. So she did that, and then she made it available to them like a library system. She'd let them check it out and bring it back. Yeah, cough drop. And but very soon, we found out that a one-day seminar doesn't work. And so she started doing a whole class within our college for 12 weeks at a time. And God has used that in such a mighty way with her working with these ladies. And then you saw the group at our home there, just the small workshop that she does. Thank you, brother. The small workshops. And now she would have more, and you saw her doing some of the teaching there, but she'd pick key people out of that group and invite them to our home and do workshops, making visual aids, songs, Bible verses. And again, because you support us and help us, we're able to get the materials, the laminating machine, the materials for that, the poster boards to cut all those things out. And so there again, that's just a little thing that you're getting to see, that you're making a difference in their lives so that they can make a difference in the lives of the children in these churches. So you don't think about that when you're putting your faith promise in, that what a broad difference you're making around the world. We're just one missionary here telling our story. Look at all these missionaries that have the same stories and maybe better than what our story is, that you are making a difference in their lives and people getting saved and growing and lives being changed. And God has used Brenda. You saw the one where the kids were lined up singing. They were the Ten Commandments. You just heard the last five, because I had to keep it short. I didn't do the whole thing. And clear to the right was Ruth. She was their leader. And she knew we were coming that day, and she wanted to show her teacher what she had learned and how she had put that together with the visuals and things. And now, what is really neat, when we go back in December, Brenda's going to work with Ruth because Ruth believes she's ready to start doing workshops, lead the workshops with other Liberian Sunday school teachers, doing what Brenda's been doing for her and others. Is that not exciting? That's what we're reproducing. That's what our purpose is. That's what we're supposed to do. And so she's reproducing herself in a Liberian lady and teacher who is going to be able to reach far more than Brenda can. And we both feel very comfortable with Ruth doing that. She's very qualified. we can trust her with the materials to do the thing, which is another whole story, how they handle materials. But so we're just thankful for that as well. You can tell I ramble on, but I want you to see some of the details of what happens because of your involvement in mission work and prayer. And I know I'm running on. Let me just say this about prayer. I say this all the time. We cannot do the ministry without finances. We can't go there. We can't stay there. We can't get the materials. We can't build churches. We can't do the training without finances. But this is the truth. All the money in the world won't make one difference if there's not prayer behind that. That is truly the key. If we don't have people praying and calling upon God, the money's not going to matter. Because we need God, we need Him to guide us, to lead us, give us wisdom, give us discernment, put us with the right people, keep us encouraged, fight off the devil because he's going to be attacking all the time. We need your prayers. We really do. And I know, and let me just share this for us and for all the missionaries. I just checked yesterday on plane tickets for us to go back to Liberia. When we first started going, the most we paid was like $2,200 round trip for one person, which is a lot, which is another reason it's hard to get people, pastors and people to come over, because that's an expensive trip. And then you add on the expenses while you're there. It went down when I just was there a few months ago, and it was like $1,700 for me round trip. When I checked yesterday for us to leave on December 20th, $4,300 was the cheapest for one person. So this trip's going to cost us about $10,000 just to get there and back. Not count what it's going to cost us when we're there. And I say that to just say, that's not just us. That affects all of us. So pray for your missionaries. Pray for God, and He will, and He'll provide, and He'll meet that need for us and them too. But I just say that on behalf of all missionaries. This recession, it is a recession, it affects us in so many ways. I'll be honest, as missionaries, and I can say this here because you guys are so faithful. I mean, I look at when I get my report every month, it's really interesting because I have like four Bible Baptist churches, you know, and they're all faithful, just do. But we can't help but wonder as missionaries, how's this going to affect the churches and then people's giving to the churches and then to missions? How's that going to affect us? But then I just got to remind myself, it's not about us, or it's God. God will always provide for His work and for His servants, and He'll do that. But that's just, I want to share that so you can be more specific in that area when you pray for all your missionaries and recognize. Listen, we're just two people. Can you imagine missionaries with kids? Three or four or how many's Ben got now? Our friend there works with in Liberia. He went there with two, and now he's got six. I don't even know how he'd ever get back to Canada for what it would cost. Then you have all the paperwork fees and things like that they have to do. But thanks, preacher. I kind of rattle on here, I know. But just remember that. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou. And here's the thing, faithful men. And I'll tell you what, these men that we're training, the ladies that she's training, they are faithful. They are faithful. They're hungry. They want to learn. And I thank you for your faithfulness to us as we try to serve the Lord the best we can. And with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for Brother Leithley, Lord, and his not just a burden for missions, but his passion for missions. I thank you for a church that also shares that passion and is faithful, Lord, in their support. What a blessing to look around these walls and just see them full of mission letters. Lord, I pray that they'll be able to rejoice in the newsletters, the reports they read and see that, of the good things that are happening. I know as missionaries we're always sharing what our needs are. But Lord, I pray that they'll see in our letter the many praises that are on there. And I'm sure other missionaries' letters are sharing their praises and know that that is because of what they're doing here in their part. Lord, I pray that they'll continue to be faithful, because I know you'll honor them for that and you'll bless them for that. And so, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the partnership that we have together here. Lord, and pray that that will just be able to continue and we can continue to serve you and be a blessing and bring honor and glory to your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.